as well that I have omitted a few verses from this. So we're not actually reading chapter 11, 1 to 44. There are a few verses which are omitted, but I think if you look at what I've omitted, you'll see why I've done it. But over to the Montgomerys.
Got to take off that bit. The reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, and is from verses 1 to 44. So John, chapter 11, verses 1 to 44. Now a man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said,
"This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it."
Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. He went on to tell them,
"Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up."
His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly,
"Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him."
On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her,
"Your brother will rise again."
Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her,
"I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
"Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled.
"Where have you laid him?"
he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance.
"Take away the stone,"
he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been in there for 4 days. Then Jesus said,
"Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?"
So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said,
"Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me."
When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice,
"Lazarus, come out."
The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to them,
"Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, thank you, Fran and Richard, for reading. It was a long reading, but what a riveting account of what happened. Today's passage goes from great sadness to great happiness. The sadness starts with illness and it gets worse with death. Death is awful. And we see that in our reading. Lazarus dies and it really is awful. Lazarus is the brother of Martha and Mary, and they obviously love him very much. In fact, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary are all friends of Jesus. And we're told in verse 3 that Jesus loved Lazarus very much. Love is such a special bond.
But then Lazarus became ill. And in fact, he became really, really ill. So Martha and Mary sent a message to Jesus asking him to come because they believed that Jesus would be able to make him better. And Jesus came. But he was too late. In verse 17, John tells us Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 whole days. We're told in verse 38 that the tomb was a cave with a big stone rolled across the entrance.
Lazarus's body, his body had stopped working. His lungs wouldn't work anymore. He couldn't breathe. His heart stopped working. He couldn't pump blood around his body. His brain no longer worked. He no longer moved. There was no life in Lazarus's body. And so they put his body in a cave and they sealed it up with a stone.
Death is awful. It's awful because it involves losing someone. It's not losing someone like you might lose a toy or your glasses or a book. It's losing someone and never being able to get them back. Martha and Mary were devastated when Lazarus died. They'd lost their precious brother. We can tell how sad people knew they were because in verse 19, John says many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. Death is awful because we lose someone we love and it feels like we say goodbye to them forever.
Now you may be wondering what this is in front of me. It is a sort of tunnel, and death is like a tunnel. When Lazarus died, it was as though he went into a tunnel. Once he was in that tunnel, Martha and Mary couldn't see him. They couldn't talk to him. They couldn't hug him. They had lost him, and they couldn't get him back. Death takes someone we love away. It causes sadness and pain and suffering. It's like saying goodbye to someone forever.
Death's also awful because we can't do anything about it. We're absolutely helpless. We can't stop it. We can't reverse it. We can't do anything at all. And Mary and Martha couldn't bring Lazarus back. They couldn't go into the tunnel and get him out. I don't think Martha and Mary thought anybody could.
A few years ago, my grandfather died. Here's a picture of him coming up on the screen in a second. There we are, looking very jolly. He was a man who was always full of fun. He was great company. He was generous-hearted, and I always knew that he loved me dearly. And when he died, well, it was like I said a permanent goodbye to him. And it was as though he had gone into that tunnel. I couldn't see him anymore. I couldn't talk to him anymore. And I would love to bring him back, and so would my family. But we can't. We can't do anything about death.
So once Lazarus had died, they put him in a cave and they put a stone over the entrance. They assumed that was the end. No one could do anything about it.
Death is awful because we can't do anything about it. But death is awful because it is not how things are meant to be. We know that. No one sees a death and shrugs their shoulders and thinks, oh, well, that's just nature. Death is not natural. It's not part of the cycle of life. God didn't make the world with death. And that's why Jesus was actually angry. We're told that Jesus cried with Mary about Lazarus, but we're also told in verses 33 and 38 that Jesus was deeply moved. And in fact, the Greek can also be translated, he was angry, he was furious. Jesus was angry because he hates death. It's not the way things are meant to be. And that's an important truth we need to be clear on. Jesus hates death, but he also hates sin and evil.
Oh, what a heavy and sad thing to be thinking about. Time for a little time out. We have an odd one out appearing on the screen. Hopefully more than one odd one out. There we are, a few you can see. And I wonder, have a quick look at them, which you think is the odd picture out. Hands up for the dog? No. How about the child in the balloon? What about the mother and child?
Looks very familiar.
Yeah, it looks quite familiar. The tree. Tree hasn't got any people in it. No? Plate of food? Plate of good food? How about the wall? Yeah. I'd go along with you with the wall. War is the odd one out. All the other things are good things which God has created and blessed us with. War isn't. It involves hate and killing and death.
Okay, here's for another one. We have our cemetery. We have a fish, a lovely kind of mountains. We have the night sky in the bottom right-hand corner. We have someone praying. We have a group of people in a church singing. Will recognise that church because it's his last church. Now, which one's the odd one out? Who thinks it's the fish? Any hands up if you think the fish is the odd one out. We've got one or two takers. People singing in the congregation there. Well, what about the mountains? Are they the odd one out? Or is it the night sky? Night sky? Or is it the lady praying? Or is it the cemetery? There we are, all the hands are going up. Why are they all going up? It's because we all know that the cemetery is where we put people who have died. And death is not what God intended. God did not intend us to die. Death is awful because it is not the way things are meant to be. Death came into the world because of sin that everyone is guilty of. Because nobody lives their lives for God in the world that he has made for us. Jesus loved Lazarus, and when Lazarus died, Jesus was angry because he hates death, and he hates sin which causes death. Death and sin are problems that every one of us have, and none of us can deal with by ourselves.
Well, like Ian said, sin is a problem we all have. And so we're going to say a prayer now, saying sorry to God for the ways in which we haven't loved him. The words will come up on the screen. After that, the Mumfords are going to lead us in prayer. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are sorry for not loving you with all our hearts, mind, and strength.
We are sorry for the wrong things we have done, said, and thought. We are sorry for not loving and forgiving others as we should. We are sorry for wanting what others have and not being happy with what you have given us. Heavenly Father, for all these things, please forgive us and help us to be more like Jesus, for we ask this in his name. Amen.
But right now we're just going to watch a very short video clip of somebody some of you may know, some of you may recognise from real life, a man called Jeremy Marshall. It's a promo film for an event which Jeremy did in June, so disregard what's obviously completely irrelevant for this service. But I wanted to show it today because Jeremy speaks of his hope in the face of death.
Hi, my name is Jeremy Marshall. 7 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer, and 5 years ago, I was told that cancer was incurable, and I probably had 18 months to live. During that period, I've been through lots and lots of different treatment. I've had chemotherapy, radiotherapy, operations, and other types of treatment. When I was in that treatment and got on public transport and somebody coughed or sneezed, I felt nervous because I had a weak immune system. And now everybody feels like me, so welcome to my world, I might say. What's it like living with cancer? Well, I've written a book about it called Beyond the Big C, and it's hard. And I'm not an amazing person or an expert on cancer. I'm just a normal, ordinary person having to cope with the face of death. And what I've found is there is hope in the face of death. And that hope is in a person, not in philosophical answers or a theological framework, but a person. And that person, Christians believe, is Jesus Christ. We believe he came back from beyond the grave, and he offers us something amazing, hope in the face of death. But that hope is only of use to you and me if it's true. Otherwise, it's the biggest con trick in history. I'd love to have the chance to chat with you and see if I can answer your questions and tell you more about how I found hope in the face of death.
Well, Jeremy's not going to be here to tell us why he has hope in the face of death, but our passage that we're looking at today does give us that hope wonderfully. Death and sin are problems every one of us has, and none of us can deal with by ourselves. That's the bad news. But thankfully, that's not the end of the story. Because Jesus showed us that he can get us through death and sin by doing the most astonishing thing. Now, I wonder, can somebody tell me what was the astonishing thing that Jesus did that we heard about in our reading earlier? What was the astonishing thing? Can you tell me? He did absolutely right. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He brought Lazarus back to life. In verse 38, we read that Jesus came to the tomb, a cave with a stone laid across the entrance, and he said to the people with him, "Take away the stone."
We can tell that Martha wasn't expecting what came next, because she said to Jesus, "If you take away the stone, there's going to be a really bad spell. He's been dead for 4 days. Martha really didn't know what Jesus was up to. But we're told in verse 43 that Jesus said in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And what happened? He came out.
Jesus brought him back to life. It's as though Jesus brought Lazarus back out of the tunnel. I should have showed you this beforehand. I think I put it in as a piece of cardboard. You probably hadn't seen. This was our Lazarus that we put in. But Jesus brought Lazarus back to life.
Can you imagine for one moment how Mary and Martha must have felt when they saw Lazarus walking out of the tomb? Their precious brother had been dead. They thought they'd never see him again, never speak to him, never hug him. But Jesus had brought him back to life. That is amazing.
And Jesus did what none of us can do. He brought Lazarus back to life, but he didn't stop there. You see, Lazarus came back to life as it had been. He was still a sinner. He was still someone who would one day die. But those two things, sin and death, still hung over Lazarus like they hang over us all. And one day, Lazarus would go back into that tunnel and people would say goodbye to him all over again. He's not going willingly. I'll leave it to you. He would go back into the tunnel. People say goodbye to him all over again. And one day we too will go into that tunnel, into a tunnel like that. We will die. And people will say goodbye to us. But what Jesus went on to do was he went on to die on the cross to pay for our sin. And he defeated death by coming back to life so that we can live forever.
We call Jesus' coming back to death his resurrection. Resurrection is a word which means coming back to life. But it actually means more than just coming back to your old life, like Lazarus did, still living under sin and death. It means, amazingly, coming back to life without your sin, without all the bad things in your life. And Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die."
You see, when we die, if we're trusting in Jesus, we don't come out of the tunnel like Lazarus did. We actually, if we're trusting in Jesus, we go through the tunnel and our lives will be made new by God and we will live forever. And we know that that is true because Jesus has already been through the tunnel before us, and he has been resurrected and come back to life. So Jesus has been through the tunnel already. He's done it. He's defeated death. He's risen again. And so we know that we too will be if we're trusting in him. Why did Jesus bring Lazarus back to life for another few years on earth? Why did he do this astonishing miracle if Lazarus was only going to die again one day? Well, he did it because he wants each one of us to believe. He wants us to trust in him. And he wants us to know that he can get us through death so that we will live with him forever. So do we trust Jesus enough to know that he can deal with our death and our sin?
Do we trust Jesus enough to worship and praise him?
Do we trust Jesus enough to live our lives for him?
Do we trust Jesus enough to tell others about him?
If he brought Lazarus back to life, well, he's worth trusting. And he can get us through death. There really isn't any better news than that. Well, we're going to have a quick look now at Slido. I wonder whether you can put that up on the screen. So the Slido question we asked at the beginning of the service was this: what is your response to Jesus' promise that by believing in him, you will live forever? Now, if you want to, do grab your phone and go onto that Slido website. The password's church. And if you want to add, do add your own answer. Now, what happens, for those who don't know, is that as you, the more people who put the same answer in, the bigger the word gets. I think thankful or thankfulness would be enormous if those two had been one. Gratitude, but there are lots of other ones there as well. Great joy, trust, confidence, love. And there's a wow there as well, which is great, isn't it? Because it is a wow thing. It is great news. What is your response to Jesus' promise that by believing in him, you will live forever? Well, thankfulness. We don't need to fear death.